the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Very important if you have this job, this particular job, like we have, everybody's got their things and their jobs, to have a hot take.
Oh, we're back to hot takes.
Hot take.
Okay.
And so you say something that sounds extreme, but you stick to it no matter what.
Even if it's proven to be ridiculous.
Yes. But in this case, my hot take, because it gets people
buzzing. Get
people buzzing.
Talking, sure.
My hot take is that, I think there's a lot of truth to this, that the whole pumpkin spice latte thing, which kicks off tomorrow, it's Starbucks and everybody freaks out about it. It's all hype. It's all just.
But there are people that like it, Rand.
No, that's where my hot take
Your
comes in.
Your hot take is no one likes it.
No one likes
Got
it.
Got it.
That's where it gets extreme.
Okay.
And it starts the buzz. But what do you think, Brandon, about the idea that it's hype or it's actually really good? What do you think it is?
It's on hype.
Yeah.
It's overrated.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you saying that because you know Brant always says that?
No.
Okay.
I've always said that this. Overrated and on hype.
Yep.
You don't like it?
No.
Do you deny that other people do enjoy it? Are you saying no one enjoys it? Because that's Brant's stance. No one enjoys it.
I once Brant said that, I've always liked that take on that. It's like, oh, it's limited. Mm-hmm. So now since it's every year, it's like, how is it limited?
Yeah, it's called contrived scarcity.
Okay.
And they're able to drum up tremendous interest. It's like the Tickle Me Elmo thing. Like, can we get people to tackle each other over something that normally they wouldn't even care about? Yes.
But what are you saying to the person who goes and gets it and tastes it and say, I really enjoy that? You're telling them what?
You got played. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you got played.
Man, there's a lot of news lately about religious people who are big time hypocrites. I mean, a lot of news, and it's hard to avoid it. So it's hard to talk about too. Here's one thing though that I've heard, and I probably even said when someone's like, man, there's so many hypocrites that populate churches and stuff. Yeah, I'll say, but we're all broken and it's like a hospital for sinners, and that's, and it's true, but it's not the whole story. People probably should expect us to be different. And just kind of wipe off that concern, like, well, we're all a mess, you know? Like, yeah, it's true, we're all sinners, but shouldn't there be, over time, some difference?
Some change.
Some change?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't there be something? And so I just want to throw that out there. Like, if we're going to be serious about following Jesus, yeah, we're sinners. But there's the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness and that sort of self-control that should start to make us distinct in a way. Sinners, hospital, all true. But we're not supposed to be doing this stuff. Producer Sherry had a great idea. So this is up to you. You have to call, leave us a message. Here's the thing. Last week, she said, hey, we should do a thing where people call us and they do that imitation of someone that they're terrible at, but they do it anyway.
And they, you know, you're terrible at it because everyone tells you that you're terrible at it, and you continue to trot it out whenever you get a chance.
Keep doing it even though you're terrible at it. I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Phone number is 855-90-BRANT. We would love to hear that. Mm-hmm. You do it even though people tell you you're terrible at it. The only disturbing part of this whole story to me
is when it came up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came up when you were doing
my Sean Connery impression.
Connery, yes.
And Sherry's like, hey, I got an idea for a show thing. Like, well, how does that connect to my Sean Connery impression? I guess just a whole world of imitations.
Yes. Well, now there's another connection
and then,
here.
So tell us the one that you're bad at. We want to hear it. 855-90-BRANT. Talking about something that's really hard to talk about, and that is hypocrisy among people who carry the name Christian. It's really, really hard to talk about it. I understand. Sometimes we don't want to. But let me put it this way. What if, just by way of analogy, what if I offered a big job to somebody and I could pay you a lot of money and there was a lot of prestige in it, and you would just have to tell me that, let's say it's Microsoft I work at, and I'm offering you this. You just have to tell me you've been a lifelong fan of Microsoft. And you can get this great job. Let's say it's $500,000 a year, you know, great pension, all that sort of stuff. Just got to tell me you've always been a fan of Microsoft. How many people do you think would suddenly become fans of Microsoft? I mean, a lot, right?
Yes, a lot.
And we even convinced themselves.
I was just about to say, and convinced themselves. Of course, I've already always been a fan.
Now that I think about it, Windows is really something else. I really enjoy it. You would even convince yourself because there's a treasure there to be had. And unfortunately, I don't think the Christian life is not designed to be a cushy job, for instance. But if you offer it, you're going to get all sorts of people. So then you're going to run into a whole lot of people that signed up because of the prestige. But if actually being a believer gets you persecuted or gets you thrown in jail or gets you, a lot of those people
a lot less sign up, yeah.
I'm not a fan of Microsoft anymore if it means jail. I never really liked Windows at all. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So a lot of times, I think, I'm just being honest here, a lot of times if you drain something of the prestige or the stage or the attention, you get the people left who are really believers. Of course, John McCain passed away this weekend. You probably saw a lot about that. One thing he said that kind of stuck with me is he talked about, and Viktor Frankl hit on this too, if you ever read Viktor Frankl, but he talked about how you get your identity from serving something bigger than you. And it's just so true. That's where you find your identity. And that's why, to me, I would want to be really careful about what that is, because if it's not something that lasts forever, what happens to my identity? Where does that go? So I want to serve that bigger cause that lasts forever, and that way I'm not just striving to be somebody with this and then that and then this other thing and never knowing who I am. So I hope that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah, because the temporary stuff, obviously it's temporary. It's almost football time. Football regular season is upon us. They've had some drop-off in viewership the last couple years.
Yes, they have.
I have a one-step solution that I've advocated for years, and at some point they're going to come to me and go, okay, let's try it.
Okay, and that is?
All right. And look, when you hear it, you're going to dismiss it. You're like, oh, he's being a goofball, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but this would spike ratings.
Okay.
One rule change. Everybody gets a football. Everybody.
Every player.
Everybody on the field. So all 22 guys on the field.
They all have a football. How do we know who to tackle? How do we tackle when we're actually carrying the football?
Well, you tackle somebody with a football.
Yes.
But you also try to score yourself.
Okay.
So it's going to be more of a cumulative. The action's going to be amazing.
Well,
the hits are going to be amazing. There's going to be people. There's going to be... The tabulating, the score, is going to be constant scoring,
okay.
Constant fumbling. Some guys will have two footballs. Some guys will have three.
And
other people will be racing after
this
them.
Is all over.
There's going to be one big touchdown celebration after another. It's all over when the horn goes off. And we tear down the goalposts, all of us together, because we've been so entertained.
Yeah.
Both sides.
Community.
Both teams, everyone tearing down the goalposts because we're we've all won here.
Sounds like fun.
We've all won. Hey, if you ever want to chime in about stuff on the show, feel free. It's 855-90-BRANT. And by the way, Sherry and I were just talking to
Monica.
Mm-hmm. Good to meet you, Monica. So what do you do, by the way?
Well, I am actually a graduate student of linguistics at the University of Kentucky. That's been new. I just started doing that 2 weeks ago.
Fantastic.
What's your next question? What are you thinking right now?
Oh, there's so much. I love linguistics.
I thought you were going to ask her, is she married?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what?
I have a son.
That's where I thought your mind was going.
Yeah. I have a son. And are you married?
Wait. I am not. I am single.
He's really fit. He went to Berkeley, and he was the top student in the linguistics department at Berkeley. And he's a believer.
He sounds a little out of my league.
Nope.
Brandon, you.
Nope. No, you're a grad student in linguistics. We got something good here. How do you feel about C.S. Lewis?
Oh, C.S. Lewis. I love him.
I see no reason why this man and woman can't be wed.
Congratulations.
Right now.
Let me know where you're registered. Aunt Sherry will get you guys something.
We humans, you gotta love us. You don't have to, I guess, but God does. Somehow.
That's nice enough.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So there's an actual dating app that it unites you based on what you hate. So you decide you hate this person or that politician or this football team or whatever, and then it unites you. That's how they match you.
Okay.
Because hate bonds people together. Because it helps you feel self-righteous together.
Mm-hmm. We're not as bad as those people over there.
Look at that. Oh, I know. Can you believe it? Oh, there's a woman on Facebook, and this got circulated and was in my news feed. And she had demanded that everybody coming to her wedding bring $1,500 cash as a gift to her and her husband. They wanted to raise $60,000 to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like up in arms about it. Can you believe this woman? So it's getting circulated by the millions so that we can all go, ha, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
There's one TV show after another, like Hoarders, for instance. We watch it and we're entertained by how bad everybody else is. And
conversely, how great we are.
I may be a mess, but I'm not like that. You know, I may have 47 chickens in my house, but I don't have 147 like that. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look. That's how we can be. And Jesus tells a story about a guy who is looking at another guy and go, well, I'm so glad I'm not like him. I've got it together. I'm enlightened. I know what I'm doing. Like, it does not turn out well for that dude in that story. Oh, yeah, I should. Sherry asked me to tell the story that Jesus told, this incredibly quick story. He's so good at being economical with words. Such a genius teacher. But Jesus tells this story, and it's basically Twitter. It's basically Twitter. Am
okay.
I right?
Yes,
all right.
It is.
So it's about a Pharisee and a tax collector. So the Pharisee is the educated person in the culture, and he's enlightened, and he has all the right positions, and he's smarter than everybody else, and he's just better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the tax collector is low down, no good, immoral, all of that stuff. But Jesus tells a story where the two guys are in a temple to pray, and the Pharisee stands up and says, God, I thank you I'm not like these other people, these unjust, these adulterers, these extortioners, or even this tax collector, he says.
Points directly to him.
But it's totally like Twitter. Uh-huh. I'm so glad I'm not like those people. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. So he's telling God how good he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the tax collector, standing far off, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified, not the other one. Anybody who exalts himself will be humbled. Anybody who humbles himself will be exalted. But I love that. The guy doesn't have anything in his own credit. He's just like, God, have mercy on me. That's the guy Jesus says is actually justified. Everybody's busy on a day like today, getting the week started. That's why we do something called the joke spot. They have proven that humor de-stresses people. Proven. So would you be willing to come into our joke spa there, Vanessa?
That would be great. I would love that.
Okay.
That's nice.
Well, welcome. We have monogrammed robes and stuff, and you lie down on this.
What's the monogram on her robe? What is that?
Vanessa, it says V.
Oh, we give each
yep.
We give each person a monogram robe with their own name on it. Do they get to keep them?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pricey.
I know.
Awesome.
I'll be honest, we're not long for this business
world.
Yeah,
our overhead's a little out of control.
We've made some bad decisions in the name of luxury. Anyway, go ahead, lie down there, and then we will light up candles and things and all that. And it's so relaxing. This is so relaxing. And then I turn to you as you're lying there, and I have humor that will allow you to relax.
Right.
So the humor... Excuse me. The humor is this. The humor is there was two goldfish and they were in a tank together, and one turns to the other and says, do you know how to drive this thing?
All right, it was a little delayed, but we got there. Yeah. No, you don't need it unpacked, Vanessa. You get it, right?
I get it.
She gets it, yeah. So that's all we need.
I don't think you do. Sherry, did you get it? Because you...
I did get it, yes.
Is it like a military tank?
Yes, I do
understand
that.
That's what makes it so funny.
Right. Yeah.
And then the other one turns to that one and
no
says,
way.
Oh my goodness, a talking goldfish. And that's where,
yeah. Ooh.
I had that second part in my pocket in case the first part fell.
Sure.
Apart.
Well, thank goodness you gave that to us.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Thanks, Vanessa, for the courtesy laugh. It really is nice.
What a spa.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm out on the streets hanging with the fellas, and we're on the corner and we're just chilling out over a burning barrel, and we're singing a cappella songs and stuff.
Oh my goodness.
And we're fixing cars.
What a throwback.
Yeah, I have friends like that. It is. You can call it a throwback if you want it.
But I just haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, well, we're used to that. Yeah. But sometimes they turn to me and they ask me things like, Brant, do you have any inspiring stories about elderly women?
Over the barrel, they ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they ask me, and my answer is yeah.
You do.
Because they turn to me for information.
Do they?
And inspiration. And
over a crackling fire.
I remind them of something I just saw over the weekend, and that is, did you see this 84-year-old woman? I'm not making this up. 84-year-old woman who pole vaults. She owns 40 records for pole vaulting over the age of 80. All of them.
How many records can it be?
There's a bunch. Well, anyway, can you imagine that? Think about that. She's 84.
Yes.
She sprints down the thing with a pole,
right.
Plants it in the ground, springs up over the thing, and then lands on the mattress thing.
Yeah, yeah.
She's 84.
It's inspiring.
It is. It's so inspiring. I wanted to share that with you because,
But the records.
I don't understand the records either. I'll be honest with you. I kind of glossed over that in retrospect.
No, none of the guys on the street brought that up.
No, they didn't either. None of them. So we'd like to do stuff on the podcast that we can't get into on the air. I actually tried to get into it on the air in a show.
You did a really good job.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it's received. I think a lot of times when the challenge with this medium, and every medium has its challenges and limitations, but the challenge is, can you say something quickly that still is fair? Mm-hmm. And doesn't sound like a shot from the hip or something when it's a really deep thing.
And then the other challenge within that challenge, so this is coupled with that challenge, is to dodge the words that will send people to their narrative module.
Right.
So you have to, what word will make someone go, I know what he said. I know who that is.
I got a take on that.
Yeah.
I already got a take. I already know what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. You're right. So you have to dodge all these words, all these things. You have to can't say this, can't say that. Because, like Sherry said, we call it to the narrative mobile. Instantly go to my story, my pet story. Mm-hmm. I can put it into a narrative, and then I'll run off with
drive
it.
Drive off,
And I won't listen to a thing you just said. Mm-hmm. So that's the struggle. But I wanted to talk about hypocrisy because for many, many, many reasons, there's an awful lot of evangelical scandals. There's a huge Roman Catholic scandal. Mm-hmm. And everything in between. And if I'm somebody who is wanting to look for an alternative way of life that promises truth and actual lasting peace, and I turn and look at Christians through that lens, there's no way I'm thinking that it has any truth to it. There's no way. Why would, if I'm just looking at that, what's the difference? And there's a tendency, and I want to try to take on and suggest to people, there's a tendency for us when we're encountered with this to go, oh, well, yeah, there's hypocrites in the church, sure, but, we're sinners too.
I've heard people say, well, there's hypocrites in the bar and you still go there. True, but it's fair for me to expect something a little different.
Right, we're hoping for something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bar doesn't have fruit of the spirit up on the wall.
Right.
Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. They don't have that. Mm-hmm. We're the ones saying that. Mm-hmm. So to say there shouldn't be a difference, and Dallas Willard tackles this. This is the whole basis behind his book, The Divine Conspiracy. But he's saying there should be a difference. That people actually look at our lives and they can see. And they're still going to see sinfulness for sure. But what about this new way of living where we're being renovated inside out? And our hearts are changing, and they can tell that we love people who even hate us, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So where's that? G.K. Chesterton noted this famously. He talked about how Christians are the big cause of atheism. I think I had a Brennan Manning quote. I can't remember if I put this down on paper here, but may not be able to bring it up. Oh, here it is. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Mm. End quote. Yeah, it's true. My point I was trying to make during the show was wouldn't you kind of expect this if you've got power and prestige to offer? I mean, if the church is about power and authority, capital A, as understood by the rest of the world, the way it understands authority.
And hierarchy.
And hierarchy. Mm-hmm. In stages and spotlights. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you expect to draw from people whether they're serious about following Jesus or not? I mean, there's money to be had. Same thing with our field.
Mm-hmm.
What about Christian radio hosts? Exactly.
Yeah.
There's less money. but there's money.
Yeah.
There's money and there's security.
Mm-hmm.
So why? I just think we're at our best when we drain this faith, we drain it of prestige. Mm-hmm. That's when we're at our best. And I think you see that around the world. I think you see the massive growth of the church when that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
The two biggest ones being the first few centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody didn't have a copy of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Still grew like mad.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have seminaries. Mm-hmm. Didn't have professional casts. Didn't have they're making this difference because people are staying behind when there's a plague. Everybody else leaves their loved ones to die, and then there's Christians saying, we're going to stay with them,
mm-hmm.
even if we have to die with them. Okay, there's something profound about that. You've surrendered all your power, and then look at the growth. The other gigantic growth has been China in the last 50-100 years,
mm-hmm.
where you earn your pastorate by spending at least 2 terms in the prison. And that's just a fact. If you haven't spent time in prison, mm-hmm. they question, well, what do you, sit down, shut up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who are you to, I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
So there's something wonderful about getting rid of all that stuff. And
So the point, if I'm hearing you correctly, that you're making is when you add all this prestige and you add all of this quote unquote, I don't want to use the word honor, but you know what I mean. Like there's this hierarchy, this authority. You'll draw people who may not necessarily even, I don't want to say they're not believers, but that's not the thing.
Yeah,
the thing
not,
is,
right.
is that I'm getting this prestige and this authority and this money and this power.
This spotlight, this
yeah.
attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I try to use the Microsoft example too. Like anytime you dangle this stuff out here, people mm-hmm. are going to, so I guess the reason I want to make that point is because I know we have people listen who are skeptical by nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I am too. Totally. There's some people who believe everything. And there's some people like me who believe probably too little. I mean, you just can't buy it. And I understand if people are on the fence or worse about Christianity in light of all the stuff that supposed Christians do.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to know, like, I hope it doesn't invalidate the fact that there are people who are genuinely seeking Christ and they're genuinely changed by the Holy Spirit. They're not perfect. Good grief. We know that they're sinners as well, but there is a genuine heart change and a genuine infusion of that fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, well, then how's this stuff happening? I'm trying to give you an explanation. Like for too long, we've completely misconstrued and misunderstood what Jesus wanted from his followers, the church. And we've given it such a bad name because we made it like corporations and empires.
Mm-hmm.
Like what in the world was that all about?
Mm-hmm.
Just emulating all of that stuff. Oh, you've got gold. We'll plate our buildings with gold too. Mm-hmm. You got this. We'll do that too. You got a CEO. We have a CEO. You got a king. We've got a king.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that wasn't what Jesus intended. But it doesn't invalidate Jesus.
It makes him even more needed.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you can ask God, just cry out to him anyway, like he needs us, genuine followers. I would ask you to join us. It can be hard to find a community. Don't I know it? But it's worth doing. You're going to find a bunch of flawed people. But I am telling you, if you strip all that other stuff away, you can find... Ask God for this. You can find a context of people to pursue Jesus with. But it's going to be pursuing him in light of this other kingdom that he talks about where it's not about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get tripped up by that. He was offered the kingship.
Mm-hmm.
In the scriptures, Satan offers him kingship, and he says, no, not that way. Mm-hmm. He's got another way to do it. And unfortunately, people who claim to follow him are like, no, but we'll take the deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesus said no, but we'll take that. That looks good.
Yeah, because his is by way of the cross.
Right.
And that's not always the thing people are looking for.
Yeah, we don't want that. And he promised, like, that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be picking up your cross, and they're going to hate you, by the way.
Yeah.
You're not going to be invited to the cool parties anymore. So that is true. But his are the words of life. And I'm telling you, too, if you read the Gospels, I think you'll find, think about all the news, all the politics, all the stuff that goes on in the world. I think you'll find, if you're open-minded on this, I think he's the only one that makes any darn sense anywhere. I say that as somebody, again, who is prone to be a skeptic. He's the only one that makes any sense. His stories to me cut to the marrow of who we are in a way that no one ever does. Him acknowledging, for instance, that no one is good. Like, who else said that? Nobody. He's the only one that says that. And I think he's right. Look at the world. But I think he's the one who makes sense. And I'm so sorry that we have mucked it up so badly. But it just, to me, it shows me our need to just throw ourselves at his mercy anyway.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.